And you're welcome to Racing Only Better ahead of racing this weekend, coming to you from Newbury and Ayr. Once again, we have the Ayr Gold Cup, of course, on Saturday afternoon. Delighted to be joined to mark your card and hopefully steer you in the direction of some winners by Mr. Kevin Blake. Kevin, how are we?
Hello, I'm excellent, Hugh. Excellent. I was at the dentist this morning, so I'm feeling all squeaky clean and happy again.
How many extractions did you get?
Not a single one. I keep my teeth in good order, Hugo. Good stuff. Great shape.
Yeah, good stuff. I am the same myself. I do try and go once or twice a year. You know what I'm saying?
Keep your teeth. Once or twice a year.
When you're on the TV, Kev, you got to keep the teeth in fire order. Those Hollywood movie stars have put us to shame, you know. What about the bad Brit teeth himself, Mr. Dan Barber? How are you, Dan?
Yeah, my Hampstead's could do with a bit of work, to be honest. Hopefully, get the theme produced and get some braces or something. It reminds me of a joke, actually, off Shooting Stars back in the day. What do you call an American dentist?
What?
Dennis.
Oh. I don't get it.
Dennis. You got to see the Dennis. Jesus Christ, man. Hopefully your tips are better than your jokes today, because we're losing enough listeners as it is in the time of year and all that kind of stuff.
It'll get better, I promise.
Christ almighty. Right, let's kick off now, shall we? Let's kick off with the first of you. We're going to talk about the 215 on the card. It's Dubai International Trophy Stakes. So it's a Group 3 contest over just under 6 furlongs, 5.5 furlongs. Kadem is your 10-3 general favourite at the time of recording. 10-3, 3-1 in places. Tiz Marvis is in there at 4-1, 7-2 as well. January, we have Hurricane Ivor at 9-2, King's Lynn at 5-1, and it's 13-2 bar, Kev. Okay, again, a reasonably open enough contest for our first race of the weekend to talk about. Have you come down on a strong opinion here?
I'll take on Kadem anyway, Hugh. I'll take him on. He dropped the 5 furlongs for the first time in his life last time, and he won, and plenty of people buy into that. But you look at that form now, and he's beat a horse called Live in the Moment that was rated 94 going into it off levels, you know. And look, Live in the Moment is probably in good form and going the right way still, but I just don't know if I want to fully buy into it. And the price Kadem is now, they're very much, you know, reading that in a positive light, that he ran up to his, you know, 6 furlong best on his first try over 5. So I'll take him on for sure. Hurricane Ivor, my old pal, he did us a turn last week in the Portland. But I'm also a little bit cautious about him. We often speak about it. It is a little bit different going from big field handicaps to smaller field conditions races. And I just want to see him show the same level in this type of race that he's been showing in big field handicaps. So I'm going to go back to an old pal of mine, Hugh. I've tipped him multiple times on the podcast this season, Atalas Bay. He did us a turn at Sandown earlier in the season, and in fairness to him, has been generally acquitting himself well, bar one blip at Sandown where it rained on him, and he doesn't want soft ground, and it seems as though the surface of Newbury will dry out over the coming days. It should be at least good ground, I suspect. And I thought I really liked his run coming back from a little bit of a mid-season break at Haydock there a fortnight ago. He was ridden with a bit more restraint than is normally the case. He was giving away a lot of weight to some very solid older handicappers, and he ran really well. And I personally have that down as a career best. He hit the line really well. I'd be hopeful that he might tighten up a little bit from that. A return to more forceful tactics might well stand him in good stead too. So look, Whitey has a little bit to find at the officials with some of these. I'm happy enough to take my chance with him. He's a bit fresher than most. He still seems to be improving. And he's a shade of a double figure price with that dead eight, Hugh. I'm sure there'll be some each way bandits, each way thieves, each way scumbags even that might fancy getting involved in him. I'll be hopefully he'll run very well.
Lovely. Go generally 10-1 shot. I'd be trying to lump some of that each way thievery myself. What about yourself, Daniel? Are you more towards the front of the market, or have you got a similar long poke like Kevin?
No, I'm right to the outside of it, I think. I'm not sure there's anything bigger than this horse in the market. Maybe McCarna's slightly bigger. I'm going to give significantly a chance at the bar. I really like this horse. He's had a very progressive season anyway. He's already got a verdict over Hurricane Ivor when there wasn't. Admittedly, he's worse off at the weights now, but that's really a weight for age issue. And I suspect he'll have got better anyway and strengthened up as the campaign has gone on. I just think he's had excuses lately. Good running 4-3 starts back. He then got behind in a bad position in the race. It's His Marvelous won the Beverly Bullet. That didn't help him. He had no chance from the stalls. And then he got out okay at the Curra last time in that flying five, and he was still upsides a furlong out, having gone toe-to-toe or not far off toe-to-toe with Winter Power. So I thought he was a lot better than that result as well. Buick's a bit of a treat on top as well. First time he's ever ridden it. And stall four looks okay too. My concern really is that it might come too soon for him because he finished tired along with a few of them in that flying five last week. But if it doesn't, and in any case, I think the price factors in potential doubts anyway. He does have a bit to find on the book. There's no doubt about it. But Cardem, Blast, Atalis Bay, Track, and significantly won't be far away either. And I'm like Kev. This is a favourite I want to be against. I thought five suited him well at Doncaster, but I didn't think that race took much winning at all.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, gentlemen. Two long pokes as well and long shots to get us off on our Saturday card at Newbury. The second thing we're going to talk about is the 250 on the card, the Dubai Duty Free Legacy Cup. It's a Group 3 over a mile and three. And again, we have an odds on shot here, Al Azzi, who is going to take a huge amount of beating, it looks like, certainly if the market is any judge of the form here. Dan, are you going to try and take him on and get him beat with something at a bigger price, or are you just going to go with the short poke here and a win is a win, as they say?
Well, we know the script with this horse, don't we? He's got all the ability in the world. And then when it comes to the crunch in a battle, he's come up short twice in a row. And I think Haggis even referred to him in an interview on TV as a bit of a bridle horse. Either it might have been on TV or with Nick Luck on his podcast, something like that. And they've decided that the means of stopping that is not sticking a pair of headgear or anything. It's removing a body part. And I think he's lost two of them since we saw him in July, when he was edged out by Sir Ron Priestley. The same had happened with Pile Driver at Epsom. He looked like he was definitely going to go past. Matched at 101 at Epsom, matched at 1.4 at Newmarket. So it all depends if the Gelden operation is the thing that holds the key to him, or does he just scoot around and win on the bridle? But I'm not so sure. But I'm certainly not convinced that he's a mega solid odds on shot. If I was putting anything up, I'd be with Fox's Tail. So it does have a bit to find. Of course he does. He's stepping out of handicaps, and it was a Group 3 last time, whereas Al Azzi's got genuine top level form. But he's a progressive horse who fights really hard. He's had only a handful of starts. He's a Royal Ascot winner already. He's just a very progressive animal who's not yet tackled a trip this far. He's tackling 11 furlongs here. The most he's been before is 10, and he shapes to me like it will suit him.
Okay, so, you know, the price is too short at the top of the market for, I guess, the proven horse, Kevin. For Dan, is he too short for you as well?
He does look a bit short. Like, really like the horse, Hugh. You know, I think coming back a furlong will do him no harm. He's looked pacey at a mile and a half to me. As Dan alluded to, there was accusations or insinuations that he may lack in testicular fortitude in his last couple of defeats. And
Nosh stones.
Now he has no more testicles, so we'll see how much fortitude he has without them. But in fairness, it was two very good horses that beat him. Is there a Pile Driver or a Sir Ron Priestley in this field? And maybe not. But the run of the race is what would give me the most GBs with him now, because I think he's a horse that will always appreciate good pace in front of him. And will he get it here? I don't know. Sir Ron dictated on him at Newmarket, and I think the run of the race proved crucial there. And I just wonder, will Solid Stone be able to dictate here and do his own thing and potentially catch a few of them out of position, because that's the way he likes to be ridden. That's the way that showed him to best effect at Windsor last time. He set out and dictated and nicked the race on the front end in first-time cheek pieces. This is definitely a stronger race, but I think he'll have the run of it. It's a bit of an ask for him now, carrying a penalty, but he does seem to be thriving, does seem to be better than ever this season. And while he may not be the highest rated horse in this field come the end of the season, this just might be the race to catch him in, given that he could well get the run of it.
Okay, very good. Gentlemen, let's move on to our third race then, the 325 on the card. It's over a mile and a quarter. There's a Dubai Duty Free Handicap Stakes here. So again, it's a wide open contest in terms of the betting early on, and we are recording this on Thursday, so do check in on the Betting Not Betfair Sportsbook as well, just to, in terms of you know, maybe views from our columnists and also for odds and offers as we get close to the off time itself. Aramaic is your 9-2 favourite at the time of recording. King of Clubs in there 11-2. You've got Moasses in there at 6-1. Injazati at 7-1. King Leonidas is in there also at 7-1, and it's 10-1 bar. And so, Kev, again, wide open contest here. I mean, look, you can make a case for a good few of these. It's not a huge field, but the price is pretty open. So who have you come down on?
Yeah, look, it's wide open. Clash of the three-year-olds against their elders. And as I often do, I'm leaning towards the three-year-olds. And the one that caught the eye the most with me was Aramaic. You know, I just never fails to amaze at how easy these horses can get off. I thought he absolutely bolted up at York on his handicap debut. I know it wasn't a big field or anything, but and the style in which he did it was really taking. And £7 for that now just seems on the easy side. You know, it really does. And the trip seemed to suit him really well. I think, you know, everything about this course, distance, ground, etc. will suit him. A bigger field to contend with here, which I actually think will suit him. A bit more pace in front of him will do no harm at all. He just looks a lovely, progressive colt that has more to come, and £7 might not be enough to stop him. So I was very much siding with Aramaic.
Okay, good stuff. And again, you know, at the top of the market, but a nice one at the top of the market at 9-2. Dan, where has your bet come down on?
This would be win only for obvious reasons, because we've not seen him since the middle of June 2020. The Royal Ascot Jersey Stakes, no less. But I do think King Leonidas has been given a chance off 102. On the face of it, of course, it's a big ask, isn't it? Coming back completely cold. The horse has been seen only 3 times, age 4. Hasn't been seen at all, as I say, since June of last year. But some of his form just stacks up really well. That defeat of Eastern World, he gave him £7 and a convincing beating. He's like a low hundreds handicapper now, and he looked very good in his debut as well. The half brother stayed 1.5 miles. Ream stayed 9.5. Well, the dam. So I'm hopeful that the step up to 1.25 will help. And you'll know your fate pretty clearly, won't you? This horse is either going to probably be easy to back and maybe not perform or need the run. But it, certainly if there's a bit of money for him, I'd be interested, because I think it's quite interesting in itself that they're bringing him back in a handicap of 102. I don't know where they could have gone, if I'm honest, but the fact they're persevering is a 750 grand purchase back in the day, and we've got a trip angle, and we've got the fact that his form was stronger last season. It's all about well-being for him. If he's in one piece, I think he's primed to run a good race.
Okay,
the trip's an interesting pick for them, Dan, isn't it? Because, like you say, his form was over 7.5. They dropped him back to 7. He went off fab for the Jersey. And, you know, coming back off a long absence, it's just interesting that they've gone over 10. You know, you'd think 1 mile or even 7 would be a more logical starting point. So I don't think they'd be terribly shy of options. So the fact that they're going 10 is interesting to me.
And a suggestion that he's lost pace and they just try something a bit differently, or that they think, no, this is what he wants, let's go for it.
Yeah, like I take it as a positive, because you wouldn't do it unless you're pretty adamant it would suit him, because he's a horse that, I remember, I think it was on debut, like he was very strong, like he was quite free. So they must be showing him all the right signs in terms of relaxation and everything else to be starting him back over that. But he's a fascinating one, no doubt.
It could be, yeah. It's one of those, it could be an absolute disaster. You'd have to small stake him. If he gets down to the start, charges to post, he's free in the race as well, stepping up in trip. He'll be 1 million after 50 yards. But hopefully, I mean, if anybody's there and they can see him on the way to post and he's relaxed, that might give us a bit of a clue as to what he might do in the race.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you, by the way. I'm with you on King Leonidas. So I'm interested to see how he goes. Okay, so one more at Newbury before we switch to the 4 o'clock is the Dubai Duty Free Mill Reef Stakes. For everybody who remembers Mill Reef, and I'm sure plenty do, it's a Group 2 contest as well, over 6 furlongs. So at the time of recording, Dabab is your 2-1 favourite. You've got Gubas in there at 5-1. Giza Sub is 6-1. It's Fearby's 8-1, and it's 11-1 bar. So, right, Dan, you know, again, Dabab is your 2-1 favourite at the top of the market. It's another tightly contested one, but Dabab is your clear favourite at the moment. Who are you on?
I think I'm happy to take him on as well. We've not seen him since July. He looked a precocious Royal Ascot 2-year-old, didn't he, when he won that Leicester race, and then he went to Royal Ascot, ran fine, but didn't exactly take a step forward. I wonder if that market, that price at the moment, is factoring the horse he was 3rd-2 last time Native Trail, and people are taking that literally, whereas I think Native Trail has just improved leaps and bounds from run to run. So he might be underpriced, overbet, and I was struggling to pick between a couple of old pals. Gubbas, I say old pal, he ran only okay at Goodwood, but I do like Gubbas. He was a winner of the Super Sprint, obviously going back. He's run really well in defeat since. The Richmond was a good effort, not being far by Asymmetric. That form's worked out okay. And then he ran the Marnie at Dover behind Perfect Power and saw things out well. I can see a scenario drawn in the middle, him and Wings of Warriors in 8, two horses that I've been with previously this season, who I think will be ideally suited by this sort of test. Certainly Wings of War that applies to as well. When you think he just took an age to get going, didn't he, at Kempton? I don't know what happened. When you consider the York race the time before, he'd lay up with the pace, no issue at all, ended up isolated, ran well in that sales race. Maybe switching to all weather didn't suit him, and he was found out slightly. But back on turf, there should be no such excuses. As my waffling suggests, I'm finding this an extremely hard race, and Gubbas was a tentative selection, but as tentative as it gets, frankly.
Okay, did you find it any easier, Kev, to make sense of it?
I'm a big fan of the Dib Dabber, the Dabber. Every time I hear this horse's name, Hugh, I think of Dib Dabs, and I know with your pristine teeth, you never indulged in a Dib Dab in your life, I'm sure.
No. Apples for me, apples and pears for me, Kev. They keep that crap out of my mouth, my sparkling white teeth mouth.
Did you have Dib Dabs in England, Dan? Do you remember those?
Yeah, they were great, weren't they? They're probably all over racecourse toilets nowadays, aren't they?
Yeah,
that's what we think.
I have it in my head that they don't exist anymore, but just in case they don't.
They do.
Of sherbet with a lollipop. Magic stuff. But that's what I think of when I think it's a bad, but hopefully I'll be thinking of it as the Middle Reef winner going forward. I'm fairly sure I napped him when we last saw him in the Superlative Stakes, and I was doing a little jig there a furlong out. He looked like he was certainly going to win, and just tied up close home, and sure, what came past the money, Native Trail and Mazzacchino,
not a bad horse
for him now. Yeah, and if you watch that race back as well, I know it's always hard to know with certainty, but Native Trail and Mazzacchino raced right out in the middle of the track, whereas Dabab was in a little breakaway group towards the far side, and while it looked like the far side was the place to be a furlong out, it didn't. You know, he was the only one that competed really. The rest were out with the washing and such. So maybe it's, again, like I say, it's hard to know, but maybe he was shown to go to, he was, you know, he did quite well considering he was the only one in the finish that raced in that part of the track. And look, coming back in trip, you'd imagine given the way he shaped there, he looked like dropping back would certainly suit him. You know, he shaped very well in the Coventry Stakes when not much went right for him. So I'm definitely happy to give him another chance. Slightly concerned when you have a kind of an odd looking gap of 10 weeks in the middle of a season. One assumes there's been maybe a little hold up or a setback, but I'll take my chance with him, and I think he might just have too much class for most of these. I thought it was, his form stacks up really well, and back to this trip I think will be key, and hopefully he'll get the job done.
Excellent. Okay, good stuff. Right, gentlemen, the 155 is the first at Ayr we're going to talk about. That's Newbury Done and Dusted, the Doonside Cup Stakes. It's a listed race over a mile and a quarter, and at the time of recording, Juan Elcano is your 11-8 favourite for Kevin Ryan. You've got Yukon Glen in there 5-2, May Danny for Mark Johnson at 9-2, you've got Pavalacino at 6-1, and it's 14's Bar. So Kev, again, short price favourite at the top in Juan Elcano, are you for or against him?
Tricky old race now, Hugh, one of these small field listed races. I'd certainly be against Yukon Glen, a fabulous horse, but he looks like his last two runs now might just suggest that he might be coming off the boil a little bit, having been very busy and very productive through the season. But you'd be worried those two runs were well below his best, and you just feared that he might be training off a little bit. And Juan Elcano, a Royal Ascot winner, of course, backed that up at York. And it was, I suppose, a solid run in the Judmont International last time. Nothing like that sort of opposition for him to face here. So it wouldn't be at all surprising if he just went and won. His price reflects that. I thought Medani was slightly interesting at the prices. Needs to bounce back, obviously, after a very middling run last time. But, you know, it's Mark Johnson. They can often bounce back very quickly. Getting back to a mile and a quarter should suit him well, I thought. And, you know, he showed when winning a very good handicap at Goodwood at the glorious meeting that he's as good as ever. And if he can come back to that, I thought he'd run a big one. But if Juan Alcano brings his Ascot form to the mix, he'll probably be tough to beat.
Okay, what about your good self, Dan? Who have you come down on?
Yeah, distill that last line of Kev's. That's basically my thinking. 5-4-ish at the moment, isn't he, Hubert? I think mm-hmm. I'd possibly be wanting 6-4 because, after all, I know he was out of his depth, but he did finish last and beat him 10 plus lengths in the international. But prior to that, it's hard to knock him. The Wolverton run was really good performance, wasn't it? He'd been threatening something like that for a good old while, and it all came together for him. There was money for him at Royal Ascot, and then he backed it up with that good Group 2 run as well when he was just touched off. So I think he does have the best form, and it's just whether the price allows us to risk him, in the sense that he does have a slightly below par run to put behind him. But you might approach it and say, well, he was out of his depth there. This is a listed race coming down from a Group 1. It's such a drop in grade that he probably wasn't even that disgraced last time. So I do think he's the one to beat, but I'd be wanting him to edge to 6-4 before I bet him.
Okay, all right. Okay, the one to beat, but just watch the price as we get closer to the off then, which is pretty fair advice from Dan. The 230 is the Ayr Silver Cup Handicap Stakes. It's over 6 furlongs again. And Black Rod is wide open here in terms of the betting. Black Rod is your 11-2 favourite. You've got Royal Scimitar at 8-1. Rathbone is 10s alongside Magical Spirit. Then you have Bergerac for Kevin Ryan at 12-1. Midwinster is there for Paul Midgley at 12-1. And it's 14 bars then. So, Dan, again, wide open. I mean, throw a dart at this one and try and give me the winner here, because it's a big field, a lot of big prices, and oh boy.
Yeah, this is more like it, boys. This is a nice, easy puzzle to get stuck into. And as we speak, there's a race at Ayr being run, and there's a horse in those colours that I think he's about to finish fourth, Casio, and his same connections, Music Society, is the horse I'm with in this. Looking at the run of the race, there does seem to be an even spread. There's no great advantage historically, I don't think, in terms of draw bias. There's been a blend of highs. There was a real stretch where high, which is near side as you're looking at it on the TV, were dominating, and the lows have sort of arrested that in recent years. So I think it's basically a fair race, one of the fairest sprints in the calendar. And speaking of fairness, Music Society is a horse who's had very little of that this season since he won at Ponty back in the summertime. He's basically run out of luck. He cut through the pack really impressively at York that day, did everything to have won the race, and then got collared by Venturous, who picked him off late. Just watching his runs back, he still looks in really good form to me. At Goodwood, he ended up in the middle of the track in the race. Mr. Wagyu dominated right up against the near side rail, and then he ran in the Great St. Wilfrid, which was another total draw race, and he was on the wrong side. He flashed home to finish second in his group. Again, just looking like he's the very, very top of his game. Ella McCain's riding him again. She's back on after a couple of starts off. And I think there is enough pace amongst the highs to make me believe and back up that view that it's going to be a fair race tactically. And he's just been ready to strike in one of these for a while. So I'm not going to desert him now, particularly when I think we've seen 14s and 16s plus.
Okay, good stuff. 5 places as well in the Betfair Sportsbook. I can tell you that even at this early stage. So plenty of each-way thievery value. Kevin Blake, where's your thievery going?
Oh, Jay. I'm going to struggle to be knocked off Royal Scimitar. I've gone with him a few times now. And he hasn't delivered.
On him.
He hasn't delivered yet, but they're reaching for the blinks. I think that's an interesting shout. He's got a little bit lackadaisical in the stalls in particular. You know, two of his last 3 starts, he's really hurt his chance by missing the kick. And he's not very exposed at 6 furlongs yet. You know, he's been shaping for ages that a drop to 6 was what he wanted. He was on the wrong side of Newmarket when he ran so well behind Black Rod. It was a good thing beaten in the Shergar Cup. He missed the kick, came near side by himself and was still only beaten half a length. It was absolute head and hand stuff. Disappointed in the listed race at Newmarket, penultimate start, but got back on track behind Popmaster last time, finishing second after missing the kick. And look, I'm just hoping the blinkers will just wake him up and get him to show what he can do, because he's been shaping for ages that this sort of mark he'll be able to win off it. If you gave me the choice, I'd rather be drawn a little bit higher, but he's not too bad in 9 there. He should hopefully be able to get to where he needs to be. And yeah, look, I him and Bickerstaff now were the two I was favouring. I'd be really annoyed with myself if I veered off Royal Scimitar and he went and won. So we'll give him another crack in the first time blinkers.
So yeah, just the blinkers, Kev, just coming out of stalls, you think that'll make a difference in terms of his concentration coming out of blocks? Is that what you're hoping for?
Yeah, it should just sharpen him everywhere, hopefully. It should just sharpen him up everywhere and allow him to get that bit handier. I don't think he wants to be up front rank or anything now, but just following up the leaders would be where I'd like to see him, ideally, not too far back.
He's a sort of horse, isn't he, that if something like that does click with him, he could win one of these, like, by a distance, you know, 3 or 4 lengths. Yeah, exactly. Up.
There's loads of ability in there. And look, I like blinkers in general. Some people, you know, the old rogue's mask, but I really like them as a tool for the right type of horse. And I think this fella would appeal as one that might just be woken up by them in the right way. And they'll hopefully do the trick, and it'll hopefully go well.
Lovely. The 305 is the Firth of Clyde Filly Stakes. It's Group 3, 6 furlongs once again. A 3-1 favourite is Headmistress at the time of recording. You've got Scots Grace in there at 6-1. Hold My Darling, Hello My Darling is 13-2 as opposed to Hold My Darling.
Hold you what?
Get your hands off My Darling. You can say hello. You can't hold her. Do you understand me? What have I told you before, you pervert? Manny is in there at 15-2. You got Canonized 8-1 and it is 12-1 bar. So right, Kev, give us your, is it Headmistress at the top of the market? Who's your bet for this, please?
Oh, I didn't have a strong view now, but only to look at this race and shake my head again at the terrible naming job on Hala Hala Athmani, who looked a lovely filly when she won first time out. It just doesn't roll off the tongue, does it?
Certainly doesn't.
But she definitely looked a real nice filly winning first time. Don't know if there was much depth in behind her now, but style-wise, it was very good. And, you know, you look at the market, she went off 11-8. Was clearly expected. So she's definitely interesting stepping up in class. But I suppose, point my main finger towards Headmistress. Geraldine does not travel very often with his 2 year old.
No, he does not.
Has done it with success in the past, but doesn't like doing it and kind of makes no bones about it. That he doesn't like doing it. So I think it's a nice bit of placing to bring her up here. She's a listed winner, unbeaten in 2, owned by your colleague and my pal, Brian Gleeson, Hugh, bred by him as well. So family that served them really well.
Is he not
well.
Hugh's pal then?
As we know, if you have to work with Hugh, it's hard to be friends with him. Well,
they always fall out with me in the end, Dan. That's just an absolute tyrant that I am.
Hold My Darling, Brian.
But so, in fairness to her, like, she looks ready for 6 furlongs now. She's been, you know, good and strong late on in both her races over 5. And Gary Carroll goes over to take the ride. So I thought she was very interesting. Now, wouldn't be a bullish view. You'd like to be drawn a bit higher, I think, but she has a touch of class about her, I'd say, and she'll reward the journey over, hopefully, for all concerned.
And obviously, Hala Hala Athmani, you mentioned there, is a bit of a mouthful, which it is. But I mean, at least there's a bit of creation and design behind it, like imagination. To go down the very bottom of the market here, 6-1, Designer. I mean, who calls a horse Designer? What in the name of Christ? No wonder it's 66-1. There must have been absolutely no thought whatsoever when that came into the world. Designer. Let's call it Designer. Who have you got for Dan?
Hey, I'm with you, lads. I'm an honorary Irishman in this race. I'm with Headmistress too.
Good stuff.
As Kev's alerted you, I think, to the slight concern, that's the one box. But to be fair, she was drawn a bit on the wing and ended up having to challenge right down the middle the cover last time, and I was just very impressed by how she pulled that out of the fire. She was still a bit green on her second start, and she's up against that Loveday, who's a complete speedball, isn't she? Blasts from the start and just is one of the fastest breakers, I reckon, in Ireland. And she got away, but Headmistress got going in time to pick her off late, and that was 5. The debut was 5. Stepping up to 6 is surely a really good move, and she's one of very few in this, let's be honest, who look open to improvement. I think of most of these, we know where we stand with them. And that includes your old pal, Hello, Hold My Darling, who arguably has the best form based on that nursery run off a mark of 98. But the balance of her form just doesn't match up with that.
Okay, good stuff, gents. So the Air Gold Cup is obviously the feature of the day, and we're going to talk about this 6-furlong contest. And Great Ambassador is your 5-1 favorite. 340 on the card, by the way. 5-1 favorite, Great Ambassador at the moment. Pop Master is in there at 9-1. You've got Comanche Falls at 10-1 alongside Just Frank at 10-1. Summer Gand, our old pal, is back in here at 11s. Could be interesting. Bielsa is back here as well, a horse we talked about a lot over the summer, 12-1. Gulliver, Kev, Gulliver's there, 14-1. And it's 14-1 bar. Right, Kev, are you going with Gulliver again, or have you finally given up on the land of the Linvey Put and just said, look, that's it, we're done?
Gosh, look, he's banging away, running really well, isn't he?
You know, no, he's not. Yeah. But
he keeps doing enough to
there all year. Like, he hasn't won yet, but he keeps hitting the frame, in fairness to him, and generally at big prices. And he has gone well in this race before. I think it was 2 years ago. He finished third in it, behind Angel Alexander, who Barry Orr tipped, if you remember well. I think he hasn't tipped a winner since, but Angel Alexander, he
never
a big
mentioned
price
it
back then. And he still mentions it. He wakes up at night, he went, oh, Angel Alexander. Jesus, I remember that. But I don't think I'm going to go with Gulliver this time. I wish him well, the great horse. I'm going to go with another minor cliff horse, but I think I've tipped him once this year, but Astilio. Who's a big class dropper. He won the Britannia a couple of years ago, and he's ended up being switched to sprinting for Paul Midgley, and he's kind of shaped okay on and off, and he's come down a stone in the weights, and he's hardly tried 6 furlongs at all. He's had a few goes at 7, a few goes at 5. The couple of days he did try 6, circumstances weren't right for him. But he did shape nicely in a listed race at Beverly last time. Again, hitting the line really well over 5. And I think 6 might just be a bit of a Goldilocks trip for him. It might just suit him well. He's drawn good and high where you want to be. He'll be held up. He'll be arriving late in the scene. I just suspect he's going to pop up in one of these. And I'd like to try and be on board when it happens. So a steady O will do for me.
Okay, good stuff. Steady O for Kev. What about yourself? Daniel, are you going to, and there's a few that we've tipped up a few times on the podcast. Most of them have been tipped up by Kevin Blake, and most of them have failed to deliver when they have tipped up. But sure, look, don't let them put you off here. What do you fancy?
Yeah, I am going with an old pal again.
Yeah. Bielsa.
It's basically like being sat in a care almost three, isn't it? Just going reminiscing about the
memories. Literally, yeah.
Memories. Oh, remember when that
one
horse.
Time.
What? Do you remember that day when every time?
I was wearing an onion on my belt at the time.
You remember that day when Bielsa won by about 15 lengths near side, and somehow they didn't allow him to have the race. They said he got beat in the nose in that ridiculous finish at Haydock. Well, that was one of a sequence of races that just went against him. And it started in this race last year when he raced almost on his own towards the near side. The group came down the middle, the winner came down the middle, and Bielsa did all his own running pretty much on his own towards the near side. So that was where the misfortune started. Looking back to that reappearance, he tried to give £12 to Comanche Falls, who's done nothing but improve since and won a Stewards Cup. Good old Georgie Bowen was back in third that day, Kev, rightly. And then he tried 7 at Royal Ascot, and partly his own doing, he hung across the track, but he ended up right in the middle where that was death all week, wasn't it? You couldn't win from there. And and then he went to the Stewards Cup, and it was a similar scenario. He was behind the very progressive Great Ambassador, who I'm pretty sure will be winning group races next season, but he's cop stall one. That's probably a disaster for him because he's a patiently ridden horse, so he'll have to pick his way through. I see this scenario. Just Frank, I'm sure, will lead. I think he's the pace. He's in 18, and I think Bielsa will be just behind him. I think we're going to be perfectly placed to strike here. And yeah, I like him to finally win a race that he's been promising to win for so much of the year.
Lovely. Okay, good stuff, gents. As I say, a wide open contest, but two decent shouts there. The last race we're going to talk about is the 4:15, the Luxury Staycations at Western House Hotel Handicapped Stakes. It's over a mile. Dance Fever is your 4-1 favourite. You've got Cruyff Turn in honour of the great man himself at 5-1. Shalir at 11-2 for David O'Mara. You've got Garden Oasis 8-1. It's 9-1 bar. So Dan, last one. Oh, my old pal Marie's Diamond is in here. She's interesting at 10-1. Dan, last word to you on our last race. First word, I should say, on the last race. What do you fancy here?
You might be first and last because I just think this is impossible.
Right.
How many run? 12 run, 5 or 6 pounds between a lot of them on time farm ratings. There's about £3 between the top 9 of those 12. I mean, it's so tightly knit. Maurice Diamond doesn't do much racing in handicaps. I think she won on a he won on his first run in a handicap, didn't he? And then he bounced back, and then he had one of his lesser days, which, as we say often with Johnson, can happen. Cruyff Turn was good at York, I thought. Battled really gamely under a positive ride. And Air is a track that can reward those tactics. So, again, probably my weakest view of the day, because I thought this was a very, very tough race, would be the prospect of Cruyff Turn getting out from three and maybe getting to dictate.
Okay, right, Cruyff Turn. What about yourself, Kev? Have you a strong view in this one?
No, I don't really, to be honest. Hong Kong Harry is a horse I like, and I thought he shaped quite well on his return from a bit of an absence at Lingfield last time. He looks ready for the step up to a mile. He did winning it. He won a couple of times at Ayr earlier in the season, and he went up in the weights. But I thought he shaped well enough now on his return. I'm a little bit surprised the market's been a small bit dismissive of him now, because he's got a, you know, he's got a sexier profile than a lot of these. You know, he's only had the 6 runs. I know Dan loves a sexy horse.
Hello,
he's yours. Only had hello you. yeah, he's only had 6 runs. Look, I thought he was open to more improvement for sure, and I thought he shaped as though that run he'd be all the better for if it was his first in, like, you know, 3.5 months. So I'll take my chance with Hong Kong Harry. I think he's a pretty fair price there, kind of 10-1-ish.
Lovely. Hong Kong Harry brings a close to our racing for Saturday, gentlemen, at Ayr. All that remains is to tip up our naps, really. The P&L, Kev, I'm not even going to mention your total. You're in the minus figures. You need a big week. I'm plus 71 and Dan is plus 112. So, Kev, as the wooden spoon holder, you can kick us off, please.
I've been a bit miserable the last couple of weeks, Hugh, because I pick out 2 from my Betfair column every week to tip, and one of them will always be my nap on the podcast, and the other one will be another one. And the last 2 weeks, my naps got beaten. The other one has won 16-1 and 5-1 or something like that.
Yeah,
so
just
a case, of bad choices. So we'll hopefully make a better choice this week. I'll stick with Royal Scimitar in the blinks. I just have a strong feeling that there's a big one in him, and the blinkers might well do the trick in the Silver Cup, the 2:30 at Ayr, Royal Scimitar. Win only, lovely. Hugh. All win duck only. Or nay dinner.
All duck. Get in there, my son. Right, with honour of the sherbert and the toilets, all race courses in the world, I must remember to bring my lollipop next time to take advantage of this wonderful treat. I'm going to go for Dabab at Newbury in the 4 o'clock. The Dib Dabber, the 4 mile native trail, is really hard to knock. I know he's on a massive price, but a win is a win, and I just want to keep ahead of Kevin Blake. If I can do that for the last season, I will retire as champion and never ever tip another horse again for the rest of my life. So Dib Dab Dabab for me. Off we go. What about yourself, Dan?
Well, I was in a really good position not long ago, and I'm slowly hemorrhaging these tenors every week trying to be a bit creative, but I'm just knocking out the park here. Bielsa, he's going to cop that Air Gold Cup. He'll hang right late on, but he'll have a rail to be against at that stage, and hopefully
he doesn't go through the rail.
Yeah, straight into that betting ring.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's right, gentlemen. Enclosures.
We will be back on Monday with Wayne in to look back on all the races from the weekend. Well, the ones of note anyway, and any instances as well that have cropped up in the world of horse racing. So Monday, do tune in. If you're not already subscribed to wherever you get your podcast, do that, please. Peace, capital, responsibility as always. Check in on the Betfair website as well for all offers and extra places closer to the time of the off on Saturday. Enjoy the weekend's racing as always. We'll talk to you Monday.